One idea that seems to be gaining strength is a fund to help the poorest and most vulnerable countries adapt to a changing world. NPR's Richard Harris reports from Bali.
Negotiations in Kyoto started 10 years ago this week, and the road forward from the agreement reached there was tough at every turn. The treaty looked like it could be a dead end after the United States decided not to ratify it. Talks for what next after Kyoto have been in a holding pattern for years. The hope at Bali is to get at least a hint of forward motion. And David Doniger from the Natural Resources Defense Council says there are signs of that from the first week of the conference.
And I think they're making progress towards turning what has been called a dialogue into a formal negotiation.
Think of buying a home, he says. For the past couple of years, people have figuratively been going to open houses. Now the hope is that they've decided to buy. Nobody's going to start dickering over the price or other promises right away. The hope is to close a deal in 2009. But some features of a possible new agreement are starting to emerge. One big change from the 1997 treaty is this new deal might actually help the countries most at risk of climate change to adapt to a different world.
Everybody knows now mitigation and adaptation have to be twin building blocks if they're going to get any agreement out of here.
Selimil Hook is a climate specialist at the International Institute for Environment and Development in London. He has been working to help countries like his native Bangladesh get a substantial stream of funding to cope with rising sea levels and stronger typhoons.
The interesting innovation here is that it's not anymore dependent on the old paradigm of development assistance. This is not development assistance. This is the polluter paying the victim of pollution, not the rich paying the poor out of a sense of charity, which is what development assistance paradigm is.
The proposal he's pushing goes like this. When an industrialized country can't meet its carbon emissions limits, it already can make up for that by investing in climate-friendly projects in the developing world. The idea would be to skim off a few percentage points from those transactions and put that money in a fund for the poorest and most vulnerable nations. Estimates are that those countries will ultimately need hundreds of billions of dollars, so this funding mechanism would be a modest start. It would be up to the developing countries to figure out how to spend that money, but Hook says disaster preparedness would be one obvious use.
In poor countries, we lose a lot of people's lives, but if you count the damage in dollars, it doesn't come to a very large amount. In rich countries, they don't lose that many lives, but they lose billions and billions of dollars because they have the infrastructure. But even rich countries aren't going to escape.
Hurricane Katrina was a stark reminder that even rich countries are vulnerable. David Doniger says Katrina is also a big reason there is a possibility that the Bali meeting will give climate talks a nudge forward.
Hurricane Katrina made a huge difference in how people in the U.S. think about global warming. And obviously, Al Gore and his movie has made a huge difference in how people think. So real legislation is moving forward in the United States, and the people from the other countries see that something new and different is coming.
Regardless of who's elected president, the expectation is that the U.S. will end up with a more aggressive policy toward climate change. And that's creating a sense of optimism here in Bali. There are many huge issues remaining, including reluctance on the part of China to make promises about cutting its burgeoning emissions. But it seems the nations of the world want to have some agreement to govern emissions after 2012. So by Friday, they could produce a roadmap in Bali to point to the way ahead. Richard Harris, NPR News, Bali.